So Colossians 3 is where we've got to, going through the book of Colossians. And I'm going to read the first 10 verses. Colossians 3, verses 1 to 10. And in the NIV, it's headed, "Living as those made alive in Christ. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." If I'm honest, I would much rather have been given next week's passage to preach on rather than this week's. It would have been lovely to be able to talk about all those good things which Paul says, which Simon will talk about next week, in verse 12, that we should clothe ourselves with: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. But no, what I have been given is the section about sexual immorality, lust, greed, anger, and filthy language. The reality is, though, that we cannot put new clothes on if we haven't taken the old ones off first. Our son Matthew was over from Seattle recently, and whilst he was here, he took me out for lunch at a restaurant where smart dress was definitely expected. And here we are, hopefully, ready to go out for lunch in our smart clothes. I don't think Matthew had worn those clothes since his sister's wedding in June. Before we put those on, of course, we had to change out of the clothes that we had been wearing that morning. We would not have looked at all smart if we'd simply put those clothes on over the slightly scruffy clothes that we had been wearing. And we probably would have felt very hot and uncomfortable as well. And this is sort of what Paul is saying here. You cannot really be someone who is kind, compassionate, and forgiving if you're also full of anger, or you bear a grudge, or you keep on viewing pornography, or you spread malicious gossip. You have to take off the old self with its practices, as Paul says in verse 9. What does he actually mean by that? Well, if we have truly encountered Jesus, if we have given our lives to him, then we are no longer the people we were. At the moment we accepted Jesus as our Saviour and Lord, our lives changed. Instead of everything revolving around us, our needs, our desires, everything now revolves around him and how he wants us to live. Our old self with its practices has gone, and we have been given a new self. And it's one of those things that baptism symbolizes. We die to our old self as we go under the water, and we rise up out of the water with a new life. And apparently in the early church, baptismal candidates would often take off their outer clothes as they entered the water. I assume they kept something on. And then as they came up after immersion, they would be given a new set of clothes to wear. These would often have been white to signify the purity of the new life they were entering. And so that practice may well have been in Paul's mind as he was talking about taking off the old self and clothing ourselves with a new self. But it isn't only a just once act. It's something which in effect we need to do every day, to recognize and remember that we are not the people we used to be before we became a Christian. Sadly, the old self is still living. Sadly, however, the old self is there lurking within us, We still think and we still say and we still do things we know are not good, as I'm sure we all know too well. But that is not who we really are now. Once we've taken that first step of committing our lives to Christ, we are different. Now we have Jesus Christ living within us, and he is there with us at all times, helping us fight the battle with the old self. As Louis Giglio says in one of the videos we are using in our life groups, don't say, "I am just a sinner saved by grace." Instead say, "I was a sinner saved by grace. I still have the capacity to sin, but that's not who I am. I am holy, I'm loved, I'm righteous, I'm changed, I am a new creation. I am in Christ, and Christ is in me." Having Christ in us means we have the power to fight the temptation, to put those old clothes back on again, to return to our old ways. Now, in this passage, Paul highlights two areas of behaviour that those who are in Christ need to get rid of. There are others, of course, it's not an exhaustive list, but these are two fundamental areas of human life which both have great potential for good and for evil: sex and speech. Now, probably to the disappointment of many of you, I'm only going to focus on the second of these this morning. But it is interesting to note that Paul has as much to say about sins of speech as he does about sexual sin. But many Christians who are very critical of one of those are still doing the other. And the things we say and the way we say them can be hugely damaging to us, to those we are talking to, and those around us. Families can be divided, friendships ruined, churches torn apart by lies, by malicious gossip, by words said in the heat of the moment which can never be taken back. As Paul particularly picks up on lying, because there is no excuse for those who profess a gospel of truth to lie to one another. Sadly, though, it happens quite often. In the entrance to the school my mother went to in the 1930s, she tells me that there was a notice which said, "Is it kind? Is it true? Is it necessary?" And the girls at that school were encouraged to think about those questions before they said anything. And that was something my mother tried to instill in her children as well. There was a radio host in America called Bernard Meltzer who ran an advice call-in show in the 70s, 80s, 90s. And he's accredited with this following quote: "Before you speak, ask yourself if what you are going to say is true, is kind, is necessary, is helpful. If the answer is no, maybe what you are about to say should be left unsaid." I don't know if it's as popular now as it used to be, but some Christians would often wear a bracelet with the letters WWJD on it. What would Jesus do? The idea is to add, before you do anything, you think about a situation, what would Jesus do? I did Google to see if there was one that had WWJS, what would Jesus say? Because I think if there is, that's what a number of us ought to be wearing. What would Jesus say in a particular situation? Maybe I could market it and do something. Anyway, we all have different personalities, and some of us will naturally take time to think about what to say, speak before we say it. Introverts particularly, I'm an introvert, I have to write out the sermon because I need to think about exactly what I want to say before I say it. Extroverts are different. So for some people, we will naturally think about what we're going to say before we say it. Others, though, it's quite a challenge to think before we speak. But something that could make a huge difference if we did. Because we do hurt others when we say things to them or about them out of anger, even when we don't really mean it. And more obviously, we hurt others when we say things to or about them because we want to cause damage, maybe to get some sort of revenge for being hurt ourselves. We hurt others when we use words which we know they will find offensive. And of course, we hurt God when we use any of his gifts in ways which damage ourselves or others. And as we read that passage together, and as I have been speaking, there may well have been a variety of thoughts and emotions going through your mind. You might be feeling guilty or overwhelmed or exhausted because you keep on trying to get rid of that old self, but it just seems to keep on winning the battle. If that's you, then remember, if you have given your life to Jesus, then you are a new creation. You have been changed, and Christ lives within you. As a song from the 1980s says, I am a new creation, no more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand. I am a new creation, no more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand. Through his Spirit, God has given you all that you need. He has also given you a church family here. So please find someone to talk to about the things that you struggle with, if you are struggling. And most of us, if not all of us, struggle at one time or another with these things. But if you're struggling at the moment, then please take time to find somebody to share that with, to ask them to pray with you. It could be a trusted friend. It could be your life group leader. It could be one of our prayer team. Find somebody to talk to. Some of you may be thinking, well, all I need to do really is I've just got to try harder to change my behaviour so that I will then become a better person. And if that's you, then just know that Jesus wants to say to you, no, let me change you. Let me change who you are. And then you will have me living within you to help change your behaviour. You know, if that's something you want to talk about with somebody, again, find somebody to talk to, prayer team, friend, life group leader. If you really don't know who to talk to, come to the front at the end of the service and one of our prayer team will come and talk with you. Some of you may be thinking, well, I don't have a problem with any of those things that Paul mentions in the passage, so nothing for me to worry about. Good, I can go home, I feel good. If that's you, then can I just encourage you to ask God to show you the things that are in your life that really belong to your old self, even if they weren't on the list in today's passage. And ask him for the help you need in getting rid of them. And for all of us, every time we get dressed or change clothes this week, let's try and reflect on what it might mean for us to take off the old self and put on the new self. What are the thoughts, the actions, the habits, the attitudes God wants to help us get rid of because they are not part of who he wants us to be as we live in the new life he has given us. I let each one of us pray that God would continue to remind us that we have been made new in Christ, that we now have a life where he is the centre. Pray that he will help you to see the damage that you do to others or to yourself when you allow your old self to come to the surface again. But please remember, though, it's not about trying hard to be good or about earning God's love. Rather, it's about learning to live in the reality of what Christ has done for you. Your old life has died. You are now living a new life with Christ in you and with his power at work in you. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your amazing love and all that you have done for each one of us. Thank you that when we come to you, you don't turn us away, but you continue to pour out your love and grace. Thank you for the way you have worked in our lives, the way you have given us a new beginning, a new identity, and a new sense of purpose, and are constantly working within us to fulfill the purposes you have for us. Help us to truly understand the reality of what it means to have you as the center of our lives, to know that you have taken our old life away and given us a brand new one, to know that every day you are there walking with us, providing all that we need to live for you. So Jesus, be the center of our lives. Be our hope. Be our guide. And be the reason that we live. Amen. So first of all, some more verses from Colossians 3. This is verses 10 to 15, again from the New Living Translation. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God has chosen you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And always be thankful. Second thing I want to read is a poem by Gerard Kelly called This Grace. This grace we have been given is enough. When the mountain set before us won't move by faith, until by faith we start to climb, it is enough. When our cry for heaven's miracles rings hollow, like a doorbell howling through an empty house, it is enough. When from our waiting rooms of weakness we say yes to pressing on, it is enough. When we have reached the end of our energies and face the end of ourselves, but can't yet see the end of our task, it is enough. Enough to know that you love us. Enough that we are called before all time. Enough that every fingerprint is valued. Enough that you remember every name. So we will embrace this grace and turn our hearts to face grace. Loosening the locks on our personal space will make each home a place of grace. We'll drink from your wells till we're wasted on grace. We'll speak out your words till our tongues taste of grace. And we'll live to love your laws until our lives are laced with grace. Down dark and dingy alleys we will chase grace. We will hold as something precious every trace of grace. We will celebrate and consecrate this grace, because this grace we have been given is enough. Be still and know that I am God. Loving Lord, when we cannot discern your hand or sense your presence, help us to understand that you are no less near to us than you have ever been, that your love for us remains constant, and that seen or unseen, you continue to work out your purposes. Amen.